Big B, Moonshine Band, Suburban Respectors. Let's go!
I'm an outlaw. Give me two shots. We don't need a radio. Bring a jukebox for my outlaws. Bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw.
Conversations with John Dilley on the Green Ideas Radio Network. And John Dilley, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine. I gotta give blood tomorrow morning, but not something I like to do. But I'm feeling fine.
Oh, TMI. Thank you very much. By the way,
hey, not a problem. I figured I'd share with the world. You know,
are you what? Are you O positive, A negative? What are we?
Oh, I'm always positive.
Hey, by the way, did you like
I had my final meal for dinner, right? I got to get a fast for like 12 hours, so it kind of sucks.
Oh,
but, like, what are you going to do?
Jeez. I wonder if like, when they stick the needle in, does it come out hot sauce for you?
No, they usually – they have to kind of, like, cut the skin because the needle kind of breaks.
All right. I'm going to go sit in my corner in the dungeon. If you need me, you know where I am. It's all yours, buddy. Go for it, Star.
All right, man. Well, hey, it's National Podcast Day, too. Isn't that cool?
Hey, yeah, amen to that, and you're on.
Oh, yeah. All right, guys. Well, here we go. Welcome back. We'll start off with our weekly shout-out to the band that makes our intro music possible, the Moonshine Bandits. Love you guys, and definitely check them out on iTunes. I'd also like to thank Helbo Canetti for the header pick, the new header pick with the flames cut out of my head. Kind of cool. Anyway, welcome back to Def Conversations, broadcasting from the Def Con Sources compound, located deep under a well-known Superfund site located here in the pestiferous paradise of New Jersey. We got another interesting show on deck tonight with another great guest from the infernal land of hot sauce. Just a quick reminder, the Def Con Sauce's 9th annual NFL season sale rolls on. You'll save 20% off all of our products, including our awesomely huge quarts of our rather well-known wing sauces. Just use coupon code NFL2014 for the savings. Sale does not apply to gift sets or clothing. Had to put that in there. This sale is one of the biggest we do every year, and I can proudly say the numbers of orders have gotten substantially larger every year. Seems our business model is kind of as well as our business motto, Future Rulers of Earth, is a journey that continues its march towards global domination. Okay, as I'd mentioned for the last couple of weeks, the I Run Barbecue and Country Music Festival in South Amboy was last weekend. The crowds were definitely in attendance, over 20,000 from the count I was told. That's great. However, as anyone's done an outdoor retail event, if your location sucks, so will your sales. Let's just say our location was a tad less than exemplary. We did okay when it came to sales, but came up way short on what we should have sold. I could go on and launch into a whirlwind diatribe of abject castigation, but sometimes discretion is the better part of valor. Most, if not all of us in the industry have had less than stellar shows. This is one of them, so I'll leave it there. Anyway, the Allendale Farmers Market on Saturday was pretty good, but the awesome weather, I think, took a few away from town to do a day vacation. On Sunday, while I was struggling with the barbecue gig, Maggie, my awesome wife unit, was running her first Farmers Market booth in Chester, New Jersey at the Farmers Market and did quite well. So the weekend was not a total loss. And she was actually able to grab some really great smoked meats from Lincoln Creek Smokehouse. Hi, Dan. But anyway, now, as I mentioned last week, there's also another cool show coming up, the New York Smoke and Fire Food Fest on Saturday, October 11th, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. in Pomona, New York, at the Provident Bank Baseball Park. It's a great location around the concourse of a ball field, and for a first-year show last year, it did very well, as did we, hence the reason we're returning. More about that over the next week or so. This weekend kind of sets the stage for this week's quick topic. When a company sets its sights on a specific event, whether it's a huge trade show, a town festival, or even a farmers market, there is never a guarantee of a positive turnout at the time of the event. We've had some insanely good events over these many years, but on the flip side, we've had some very costly bombs. I found over the years our batting average has gotten progressively better. As many of our customers have noticed in the last few years, we really don't do the shows that we have to get on an airplane to get an airplane ticket to do. To inject a bit of reality into this, it's not because we don't want to, but it has more to do with the fact I only get 10 vacation days a year from my regular job. With a show that's, let's say, you know, 5 or 6 states away and runs from Friday to Sunday, like most of them do, I have to take off Thursday, Friday, and Monday, if not Tuesday, depending on plane schedules. There goes about half of my vacation days for the year. Bam! But anyway, on the money side, these types of long-distance shows start off with a lot of upfront upfront cash between airfare, hotel, food, freight both ways, car rental, drayage charges, booth fees, and, oh, and beer money. There's a lot of monetary catch-up to do before the show even starts. I've met a number of brand-new companies that decide to try their hand at a large venue gig. As expected, there have always been mixed reviews. To be a brand-new company, that means not a lot of people kind of know about you or your products, and you'll have to put out the extra effort to kind of grab the attendees' attention. Sometimes it works out. Many times it doesn't. When it doesn't, now that company has to reconfigure their already depleted funds. I've personally experienced this, and let me tell you, it ain't fun. With the popping up of so many local and regional events lately, to do these types of shows, even if the event sucks on the retail front, the loss is much more manageable. Case in point was last weekend at the barbecue gig. We came out in the green for one reason. The show only cost me $150 in gas money. Of course, my unparalleled Jersey attitude when it came to closing sales helped as well. That being said, if you're just starting out, I'd suggest cutting your teeth on a ton of local events, festivals, markets, and stuff like that. For starters, it'll get more people to know about your products. Number two, it'll give you good experience honing your pitching skills. And third, if the event turns out to be a bomb, it won't hurt so much in the wallet. But anyway, that being said, let's get our guests on here. Our guest tonight is Mike Grimes from Mike Dog's Sauces, based out of Pennsylvania. He has a cool variety of different sauces. We'll get to know about each and every one of them in a moment. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hi, John. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Now, as I tell everyone, the show does go kind of quick, so I want to cover as much about you, your company, and all your products. So I've got you've got the standard set of like 20 questions, and we'll go through them one at a time. And a lot of them we're going to be delving into each one of your products, kind of the background of the company, and all that kind of stuff. So let's get moving. The first question would be, as I ask everybody who's been on the show since April, what got you into the hot sauce industry? Because it does take a special kind of person.
Well, believe it or not, way back when I was a student at Penn State, my roommate started getting into chicken wings. And
yep.
They got them from a local vendor, and truthfully, they weren't that good. And so I don't even remember the name of the company, but I decided, you know what, I can probably do a little something better. So I started playing around, making some sauces, and came up with one. And it was a hit, and I started making that 28 years ago, believe it or not.
Nice.
And I've been making that one since.
Very cool, very cool. And so that just basically put the root in the ground, and you grew from there is basically what it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, for years, people have been telling me, you got to go in business. And I
yep.
sort of laughed it off for a long time and said, you know what, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of hot sauce companies out there. And, you know, I'm not sure why I should go into it because it's, you know, I mean, there's a lot of competition. But,
right, and you know, when everybody thinks of like the food industry, they're thinking cutthroat. They're thinking everybody's out to stab each other in the back, steal the recipes, and all that kind of stuff. And it's funny because we started out pretty much the same way. DEF CON was over a couple of beers with a buddy of mine, and I'd been making the wing sauce just like you. I've been making the wing sauce for Super Bowl parties for years, and over a few years, friends and family, hey man, could you whip me a batch of that stuff? I'm having a party. Ran with it, and all of a sudden he goes, the stuff's starting to sell. Why don't you build a company? Oh man, really? You know, I mean, there's tons of wing. Same thing, and it's kind of amazing how companies like yours and mine start off by that little glimmer of thing, and you put a taproot in the ground, and all of a sudden the tree starts to grow. And I see you're doing quite well so far. Now you're based out of Pennsylvania. Where in Pennsylvania are you?
Mechanicsburg. It's outside Harrisburg.
Okay, yeah, know it well. Actually, I went to the Civil War Museum. I go there every couple of years. You should go check it out. I love that museum. But that's cool. That's cool. So the let's see. Oh, now, when did you actually start up your company? When was the actual like start?
We went live August of last year, August 4th.
Oh, nice.
Of last
oh, so okay, oh, very cool. So you're off to a good start. This is very good. Now, you started making chicken wings about Penn State 25, 30 years ago, and then bam, it just there you are now. As I said, the 30 minutes go quick, and let's get right into your products. I had a couple more questions here, but I want to make sure we cover your products first. The first one, I love the name of it, Simply Named Original. I thought that was cool as hell. Now, what type of sauce is the original?
It's a buffalo-style wing sauce.
Okay.
Now, all my sauces contain fresh pepper rings in them, so it's a little sweet, a little hot, nothing too overbearing.
Okay, and what type of peppers
and
are
barbecue
kind of
in it, too.
It?
What?
What kind of peppers are kind of floating through it?
I have serrano peppers and hot banana peppers in it, and a cayenne pepper
okay.
sauce base.
Oh, very good. And you said you had a little bit of barbecue tinge in there too, so it'll
yep.
be good on just about everything. I mean, you can grill with it, you can cook with it, you can make just sauces with it and stuff like that. That sounds good. I mean, what do you use it on? What are some of the household things you use it on?
Well, besides wings, I'm typically using that like on eggs or something like that. Any dish I want to add a little bit of heat to.
Sure,
just
sure,
a little
sure.
bit.
Okay. That's cool. And then we come up to the mild original, which is, I take it that's just like a detuned original with either less peppers or different peppers, right?
Yeah, it actually has a sweet peppers in it instead of the serrano peppers. And
okay.
So a little extra sugar content to mellow it out.
Okay. So I can see that being, for a lot of people that don't really want the heat first thing in the morning, that'd probably be good on eggs as well, no?
Yeah. And that's the one I cut my kids on, you know what I mean? So probably about age five, that's the sauce I start feeding them with wings.
Oh, nothing like chili pepper. Chili heads in training. I love it.
Yep. Start them.
Now, the next one up is the hot garlic. This one kind of piqued my interest. It just sounds good. I mean, what's going on inside of this jar?
Okay. Hot garlic, and I got garlic herb also. They're very similar. Both of them have fresh and roasted garlic in, fresh rosemary, thyme and oregano, and hand-grated Parmesan cheese. Now, the hot garlic has jalapeno peppers in it. The garlic herb has sweet peppers in it.
Okay. Very cool. And now, what would you find that to be best on? I mean, I see on your website you ask people for recipes and stuff like that, and you've gotten a few comebacks, which is very cool. What do you find people use that stuff on?
Chicken, pork chops. I've grilled fish with it. Of course, it's awesome wing sauce also.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
I've made stir fries with it. I make a garlic dip with it, which is great on vegetables. Just mix a little sour cream with it.
Cool. Yeah, because when you said stir fry, that's the first thing I thought of. I was like, this would taste good. A couple of spoonfuls into a stir fry, and off you go. That sounds like it would fit really well. Now, I found interesting on the next product, the mesquite barbecue. On your website, it says you don't really want to you didn't start out wanting to make a barbecue sauce, but you were kind of pressured into it. I know the feeling very well. There's a ton of barbecue sauces out there, but I mean, yours has to be pretty good. I mean, all your friends and family kind of pushed you into doing it, and you did it. You pulled the trigger, which is very cool. Now, there are a ton of barbecue sauces out there, most of which are like the standard Walmart type generic, you know, sugar and just barbecue sauces. Yours is obviously better. I mean, what kind of stuff is going on with this to kind of set it apart from all the other barbecue sauces out there?
Well, you have fresh onions and garlic and sweet peppers in it. And
okay.
Also, it has that smoky flavor from the mesquite. So
nice.
It's real nice on ribs, pulled pork, pulled beef, marinade chicken in it, marinade pork chops in it, and, of course, we can use it on wings also.
Sure. And now, would you consider better useful grilling or afterwards as more of like a glaze or something like that?
You know, truthfully, you can use either way. I prefer to marinate all my meat for like 24 hours in sauces.
Nice. Okay.
That way the
okay.
flavors really soak in. With the mesquite, though, what I found is some of that flavor of the mesquite does cook out. So you have to post-marinate it also after
okay.
cooking.
Okay. Now, this I always wanted to ask. If you say you do a lot of marinating, I do a little bit of it, not a lot. Now, I tell me if I'm wrong. I've been told that to marinate meats at room temperature is better than to marinate meats in the fridge. Is that true?
I'm a food safety nut. I've spent most of my career in food, so marinating meats at room temperature, I'm a little wary of, because you got about a 4-hour window when you should hold meats at room temperature.
Right.
I tend to like to keep them in the fridge and just marinate them in the cold. You know, you can bring them out about an hour before, bring them up to temperature. Those flavors will soak in a little deeper, like you said, at room temperature.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, food safety-wise, you usually want to keep it cold.
Okay. No, I had to ask. Like I said, I've done a little bit of marinating, not a lot in my life. I usually do the dry marinade stuff, so it doesn't really matter. You put the powders on there and put it in the fridge and let it rip. But, okay, cool. Now, here's a good question as well. If you're marinating, let's say I want to do it overnight room temperature. You say it's not a great idea. If the marinade is totally covering the meat, would the microbes still get through the marinade into the meat?
You know, I mean, most hot sauces, including mine, are high acid products.
Right.
Similar to ketchup, you know what I mean? Will they offer some protection to the meat? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Truthfully, I'm still not comfortable doing it at room temperature.
Okay. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
I mean, I always err on the safety side.
Yeah, that makes sense. That totally makes sense. I mean, I see how many people doing the farmers markets for so many years. I see how many people get shut down because the thing's 5 degrees off temp, and they have to close up their tent. I mean, it's you got to look out for everybody. That's not you just eating; it's everybody else as well. I totally understand your point of view. Now, We're going to get up to a new one here as well. I'm just starting to delve into the world of this. We head out to the islands and find your Caribbean jerk sauce. I'm a big fan of jerk seasoning as of late. It took me a little while to get to really like the taste of it, but now I'm hooked. What I found was cool that I usually put pineapple on the jerk after I'm done cooking it, like kind of like a garnish. You put it in the jar, which I find very interesting. I do have to ask, is it a hot jerk or is it like a medium or a mild? Would everybody be able to eat it?
I would describe it as a mild to medium.
Okay.
Jerk sauce. The pineapple's in there, adds a nice sweetness to the and adds the flavor profile of the sauce.
Absolutely, yeah, because like I said, I usually use it as a garnish. You know, you get a little fork of pineapple, get a little fork of the meat, and eat them together. But having it all in one jar, it just makes it that much easier. You don't have to worry about going out and getting a pineapple.
Yeah, it's real nice on grilled shrimp, chicken, pork chops.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, you can have fun with jerk. And everybody think, oh, yes, all you can do is jerk chicken. No. Jerk can be put on just about anything. I mean, if you like that taste of the jerk, it is an acquired taste for a lot of people. It took me a little while to really like it. But then once you turn that corner, you love the stuff. And that's kind of where I'm finding myself hitting now. Now, let's see. Many people out there Many people like the jerk food, but don't know much about making it themselves. I mean, is there any helpful cooking hints you can give them if you're going to make a really nice jerk dish for a good party or something like that where you mean, 10, 12 people. Is there any kind of like helpful cooking hints you can give them for doing the jerk stuff?
You mean using my sauces, of course. I'm sure.
Oh, well, what else would you use?
Marinating like any other meat, you want to add the sauce. Like 24 hours in advance, let it soak into your meats. Me, I'm a grilling guy. Stovetops with meat is sacrilege. So if you can grill your meats, it really enriches those flavors and brings out the jerk flavors nicely.
Very cool. Very cool. That's kind of what people want to hear. I mean, there's a lot of people delving into the kitchen these days. I mean, it's not really cheap to eat out as much anymore. And a lot of people don't have that disposable cash. You just say, honey, we're going to go out to eat tonight. And getting back to basics. I mean, get a jar of your jerk sauce and just have an entire, a few nights of jerk seasoning on your meats. And it'll save a lot of money instead of having to go out someplace and, dropping $50, $100 on a dinner. You, me, and Frank had talked about this before, just before we got on here. Now for something completely different. Yeah, I had to put in a Mighty Python reference. Next up, we have a Maryland blue crab. This really, really caught my eye. And I'm thinking, okay, yeah, this is another one of those, like an Old Bay or something like that. No. You have the crab meat in it. It's awesome, dude. Talk to me about we're going into this one because my interest is right on this thing like a freaking crosshair. What is this stuff all about?
Well, it is a Maryland style crab sauce. It does have Old Bay in it, but also has the crab in it, has tomatoes, serrano peppers, and a cayenne pepper sauce base.
Okay,
so awesome on fish, but. To all the events I go to in farmers markets, I bring a crab spread. All it is half a cup of that crab sauce and an 8-ounce block of cream cheese. Just mix it together, and folks absolutely go crazy over it. I mean, if I taste the crab spread with the cream cheese, guaranteed sales for that day. It's without a doubt my crab sauce is my number one seller.
That's cool, because it's something a little different. I mean, I saw a crab sauce. I'm like, oh god, you have to add the crab to it. Where do I go? Where do I get crab? What do you mean it's in the jar? I was like, whoa,
yeah.
This is cool. No, that is really cool. Now, I take it's got to be refrigerated. But I mean, is there any kind of a shorter shelf life because of the crab, or is it the acidified enough where it kind of hangs together by itself?
Well, it's acidic enough, and the other thing is I use pasteurized crab meat.
Okay.
And that's just for food safety. You know what I mean?
Sure,
so
absolutely.
It's got a year from manufacture date. Right now I am running about, just about a week out from manufacture. So just keeping up with production on that.
That's all that's good. But you said it's one of your fine sellers. I can see that. I mean, when people see crab, everybody's eyes light up. I mean, crab's got – it just tastes so damn good on anything. Has anybody ever tried it on pizza?
I'm not sure. I know
oh,
I've
I
had some people
to
make a seafood pasta with it.
Okay. Oh, I can see that in a heartbeat, sure. Yeah, I'm thinking like doing a pizza with it. Just, slather that on while, just as a regular pizza and throw it in the oven. I think you're going to be getting an order from me. Anyway.
Yeah, try it out. Let me know how it works out.
I will. I will, absolutely. Like I said before, you have basically call-ins to your website for putting up their recipes. I think it's a great idea. Now let's see. Now, and as always, I always save the hottest for last. Personally, I'm one of those crazy the hotter the better types. But this product, Make Boys Cry. What is going inside of this little monster?
Now that's got Scotch bonnet peppers, Serrano peppers, and hot banana peppers. It is in no way near a super hot. So.
Okay.
Guaranteed just about everybody out there has something hotter. I'm more into the flavor end of it and not into the super hots. But it'll leave a little zip in your mouth, but it's not going to burn your taste buds out.
Okay. No, I'll tell you what, and I tell so many people, you have the Chili Hit faction. We all know those people. They're kind of like, I'm not one of these crazy ones. I do like my heat. I like a good habanero or something like that. But have you ever thought about making maybe a hotter version of that one, like a small run to see how well it does?
Yeah, I'm actually considering it right now.
Good. Okay.
I actually make my sauces at a local firehouse right down the street from my house, which is wonderful. They
oh, no kidding.
Wonderful commercial kitchen, which I rent and pretty much I have run of the mill of. I want
so
to do
cool.
something to honor
oh,
them and was thinking about something doing something a little bit hotter.
Okay,
so
you work at a firehouse. What a great place to make hot sauces. Oh, my God. You have test subjects that work there.
Yep.
Yep. Okay, cool. Now I did notice you mentioned it real quick. I don't know if anybody heard it, but you mentioned it real quick before. I thought this was kind of interesting. Something a little unique with your products. Instead of mashing or grinding or pureeing the peppers, you actually use pepper rings in all your products?
Absolutely all of them.
I find that really interesting. I really do. What makes you think to use the rings as opposed to basically what everybody else uses, smashed or pureed or whatever?
Well, the thing is it adds a little complexity to the sauce, both an appearance, a texture, and then if you're eating the sauce, usually you can finish it off by eating some of those hot peppers. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So it changes that flavor profile and what you're having throughout that course of that wings or food, whatever. Just to add a little bit of extra zip for those who want that.
Okay, cool. No, that makes sense. I mean, the immediate thought was texture thing. I mean, you got chunks. You got like really interesting chunks, not just like a cube. You got that is kind of neat. And you can put them to the side and have them for dessert.
Yeah.
Now, who gives you the inspirations for new products? Would that be you? Would it be Kelly, the kids? I mean, how does that work?
Occasionally, I'll get pushed in certain directions, but basically. Yeah, you know, I mean, like the barbecue sauce. And this is something I didn't want to do. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Everybody's got a barbecue sauce. And
right.
So I got pushing and doing that. But most of them I think of, or I have friends or family, and then we start playing with them, start trying different variations. And, of course, I invite everybody over, and we have to do lots of test trials on.
Oh, absolutely. No, yeah.
Because,
yeah. That's what I mean. We put out maybe one product a year.
Stuff.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, and now you said you do the farmers markets. I mean, do you do larger shows as well? I mean, I know you did Bowers. I mean, how was that for you? Bowers is just freaking awesome. I love Bowers.
Oh, Bowers was incredible.
I guess that was your first year doing it, right?
It was my first year doing Bowers, yeah. I sort of got a preview to it when I did Kempton.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if you made Kempton or not, John.
Yeah, I did. I never got a chance to get out of the booth there either.
Yeah, but I realized pretty quickly, and I had already signed up for Bowers long before I went to Kempton, that area is just ripe with chili heads.
It's amazing. Bowers is an amazing. It's an anomaly.
It is.
And the Kempton, the Kempton Pepper Jam, though, which is coming up next May, I'm definitely doing that one again. We did great. And like 75% of the clientele at the Kempton one are Bowers people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm at least 75% were asking me, are you going to Bowers? Are you going to Bowers?
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's amazing.
Yeah, two fantastic shows. At Bowers, I tried to get out of the booth to say hello to everybody. As you know, you can't. It's just a wall of people all day long. It's awesome, but then you don't get a lot of time to hang out with and talk to the other guys and stuff like that. But I'll take the retail.
Yeah.
But do you have any upcoming events that the people should know about?
Well, I'm doing a apple and cheese festival this weekend. It is way up in Canton, Pennsylvania, middle of nowhere, but it's up in the area where I grew up. So it's supposed to draw like 30,000 people. So should be
pretty nice. Okay. Very cool. Very cool. Any others, or is that because things are starting to round down a little bit now because it's going to start getting a little chilly out.
Yeah, I'm doing a wine festival in Marysville, PA, on October. Let me look at this. 18th.
Okay.
Very cool. October 18th. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the one-day festival.
Now, besides your website, where else can people find your stuff?
Well, I have 12 different retail locations, and actually it was 11 before today, and I added two more, so we're going to be up to 13 probably sometime tomorrow. Yeah. So
awesome.
It was nice. I had two calls this afternoon. A couple wineries wanted to add me into their portfolio and have me on board, which is wonderful. It seems to be a good mix with wineries for the type of sauces I have. I mean,
sure,
I get a lot of foodies going to wineries, and they tend to like my sauces. So it works out
that's
well.
That's cool. Oh, that's really cool. I mean, the fact that you make the stuff, what blows my mind is you make the stuff at a firehouse. I mean, I'd like to know if there's another person in the industry that has their commercial kitchen is in a firehouse. I mean, that just sounds so freaking cool because your test market, all your guinea pigs are right there during the creation of it.
Yeah.
Now, are you a fireman yourself? Or?
No, I'm not, but they've sort of drawn me into it, and within 6 months elected me as a director of the fire company, blah, blah, blah. So,
nice.
Plus, I'm running all their food events, too, since I've been in food pretty much all my life. So I'm
that's
helping
cool.
them
that's
out.
Cool.
Organizing stuff and all that happy stuff.
Well, now did they charge you like a nominal fee? Oh, you said you're the director, so you can kind of do anything you want.
Well, I got to keep that separate from my business and from what I do volunteering with them. I pay an hourly fee, which isn't bad.
Oh, that's cool. No, that's cool because a lot of people they really go out of their way. Like Rutgers has a culinary area, but they charge kind of a lot. And if you're going to be renting out someone's restaurant or something, they have to use their kitchen. For one, they're going to charge an arm and a leg, and for two, it's going to be at 2 o'clock in the morning when they close. If you get a little larger, I mean, are you going to start running out of time to draw your own stuff, or are you going to be thinking about a co-packer later, or are you just going to stick with what you're doing and just grow it?
Co-packer's an option, but at the rent I'm paying. I can probably hire in people and have it done myself easier. And the problem with co-packers, though, too, is because I'm slicing all those peppers, co-packers usually don't want to touch that.
Right,
so I've talked
right.
to a couple. I mean, if you put it in a blender, they're good. If they have to sit there and hand slice peppers, they're not.
Right.
But right now I have plenty of capacity where I'm at. If I hire people in, I can do it. I have 14 burners of gas stoves, 2 big convection ovens, a commercial dishwasher, 8 stainless steel tables, and nobody uses the kitchen but me. So,
oh, man, that's a huge – okay, I'm thinking like a little 4-burner grill or something like that.
No. We're big time as far as space.
That's freaking awesome. Well, hey, man, like I said, that 30 minutes goes quick, though. But I want to get you back on. After we get a couple more shows under your belt and stuff like that, we'll get you on for part two. Maybe you have some new products and stuff like that to tell everybody about. What do you think?
Sounds good.
All right, man. Well, hey, Mike, I appreciate you being on the show, and we'll definitely be in touch. I'll give you a call after I round up here.
All right, sounds good, John.
All right, man, thank you very much. And there goes Mike. Hey, guys. There it is. There's the music. Got to kind of wrap it up here. Definitely like to thank Mike Grimes from Mike Dogs, DAWG's Sauces, for being our guest tonight. Look forward to seeing them at other venues down the road and wish them the best of luck. And definitely see them at Kempton and definitely see them at Bowers. Check them out at www.mikedogs, that's Mike, MikeDawgs.com, and order up. As you heard, they got some really, really good stuff. I'm really looking forward to that crab stuff. Now, don't forget, 9th annual DEF CON NFL season sale is on now. 20% off all products. Just use code NFL2014. Stock up! This is John Dilley, president of DEF CON Sauces, creator of the finest wing sauces, habanero, horseradishes, and dry rubs. Bidding everyone a good night. Check us out at www.defconsauces.com. So until next week, when we pull another slightly twisted individual out of the culinary maelstrom of hot sauces, barbecue, and chili, same bat time, same bat channel. Have a good night, everybody. Give me 2 shots. We don't need a radio. Bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me 3 shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. For my outlaws, give me 2 shots. We don't need a radio. Bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me 3 shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm over 1% patches on the leather vest. And every outlaw box.
rocker that I met on the west. I'll probably never see the Opry. If I did, I'd laugh. I'd probably break some long necks, then go out like cash. They bump me in the prison, Tracy and San Quentin. You can blame the fast living or the whiskey and women. Radio don't need to love me, but they need to respect it. I'm here to pick the pieces up where Bob Rock left it. I've done a few shows where the sheriff won't go, and some of those shows were with David Allan Coe. I'm at the motel sleeping, the truck stop eating, a different dive bar drinking every other weekend. Like a trucker driving 18, I only slept two. My neck stays red and my collar stays blue. Hate three knows me and Shooter does too. If you don't like them, then I don't like you. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw.
Just when you thought radio was safe. A new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.